This is Elaine Genoway calling to order the March 20th, 2023 meeting of the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council Senior Citizens Engagement Committee. If you could please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Veterans have earned the right to salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And this meeting is being recorded. Vice Chair Elizabeth, could you please take roll?
Tony Alavado.
I'm here.
Elizabeth Music here. Colette, absent. Meredith, absent. Scott, absent. Elaine.
Present.
Ken Hickman, absent. Sherry Horn, absent. Jim Levy, absent. John Poyter, absent. Tony Rodella.
Hoorah!
Dave Tetzloff, absent. Elaine Velez, absent. No quorum.
Okay, we do not have a quorum. So we will go through the meeting, but we will not be able to take any action until a quorum is established. Thank you, Elizabeth. And introductions. Are there any guests that need to be introduced?
Just our speaker.
Our speaker. And you are, sir?
My name is Myung Sva. I represent the Irvine. I'm a senior citizen commissioner.
Right, you're on the Irvine Senior Citizens Commission.
Right.
And it's nice to see you in person. We've seen you on Zoom. So thank you for joining us today. Okay, are there, and I don't have an introduction for the speaker, but I'll let you introduce yourself when we get to the presentations, okay? And do you prefer, okay, George. Are there any public comments? Seeing none, public comments is now closed. And now we are on to the presentation. With us today is George Dixon from the Veterans Services Office, and he's going to speak about Elder Veteran Services. George, if you could please introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Good morning, everybody. My name is George Dixon. I am the new County Veteran Service Officer for Orange County. A little bit about myself. I've been in Veteran Services for about 30 years. Started out with the Disabled American Veterans in 1995 when I had a full head of hair, and I was in my early 30s. Went over to Los Angeles County in 2001, where I became their Vet Rep 2, their senior Vet Rep, and then the interim supervisor after our boss passed away in 2012. Took on the director's position for Monterey County for 3 years, and successfully did that. And was brought back down to Los Angeles County to enhance and expand services. So in about 2016, I did the three worst things you can do in your lifetime. And at that time, I think I was in my mid-50s, is change jobs, buy a house, and move all within a month. So I came back to LA County, expanded services, increased the level of awareness to the office. Retired from Los Angeles County as their supervisor of veteran services January 4th,
LA
County, and came over to Orange County to do veteran services here as your county veteran service officer. In my tenure in Monterey and LA County, I had the opportunity to serve and work with seniors, and now that I'm 60 years old, I'm considered a senior, right? 30 years of working with veterans and their families, their survivors, their dependents, everywhere across the United States is what my passion is. And just to come in here just to do a brief intro, what I did is I gave you guys some veterans resource books. So I don't know if you guys have ever seen those before, but we also have a couple of packets on aid and attendance for survivors, which we have a lot of spouses or widows or widowers that are survivors of veterans. So I only brought 5 packets, so it actually worked out pretty good. There's only 1, 2, 3, 4 of you. And I would highly encourage you, if you're a veteran or related to a veteran, once everybody gets settled in here, to come by and visit us.
So you want to talk a little bit about what your office does?
Oh, okay. So, by the way, how many veterans do I have in here? I think there's 2 of you guys, or 1 of you. Anybody?
I took ROTC.
Yeah, well, and then anybody related to a veteran? So the Office of Veteran Services, we help our veterans, dependents, and survivors establish benefits with the Department of Veterans Affairs in the form of compensation, pension, education, burial, and a wide variety of state and local benefits. We're the focal point for veterans, dependents, and survivors, and current service members coming off of active duty. We're generally the first place that they go to get services that they've earned for their service. Good example would be, I had the opportunity since I've been here to visit a lot of retirement communities, three or four in Anaheim, Orange, and there's a lot of World War II, Korea, and Vietnam veterans still here, Vietnam being the largest population of veterans in Orange County, and aging. And it was really interesting going into those communities and talking about injuries that occurred in service and trying to get them compensation. And remember, each generation, World War II veterans, greatest generation, did a lot of pride, and it's like, you know, no, give it to the next guy or girl. I was shot in World War II, I'm okay, don't give, and it's talking to them, and you see them where they have hearing aids that are the old-fashioned type, and just telling them, hey, the VA paid for those. They're $6,000 a pop in the community, and your Medicare may cover it all, or supplemental insurance, but just getting them to apply for the benefits and encouraging them to get into the office and enroll in VA healthcare and apply for the benefits that they've earned for their service, and convincing our veterans that it's not a handout. I'm 100% disabled veteran. I have a lot of issues, Pauline knows, but mainly spinal cord, and so if I don't move quick, when I was in Korea, I fell off a cliff and landed on my back, and I was in my 20s, and when you're in your 20s, you get up and keep running, right? Come to find out that what I really damaged myself and applied for all those injuries, but the office is really good at getting veterans to secure benefits that they earn and their survivors. Right now, with the PACT Act and Agent Orange exposure, you're probably coming across a lot of family members or widows that their husbands or wives may have passed away of high blood pressure or something that was a contributory cause. Those widows are entitled to file for benefits. And with all the new conditions for the current conflict veterans, such as the cancers that have come up, encouraging those veterans to file for benefits. The oldest veteran I know of, I retired on the reserve side of the house in 2014, the oldest veteran I know of that went to Vietnam and Iraq, he was 52 when he went to Iraq, and he went to Vietnam, and I go, what's going on with you, Sergeant Hernandez? Do you have a death with you? He goes, I'm gonna go out with a bang. He went to Iraq for 2 years to train Iraqi police. So that veteran, if he has presumptive conditions from Agent Orange and the types of cancers and the high blood pressure and the heart issues, he falls into two categories, and knock on wood, if something happens to him, his spouse would be entitled to those benefits too. So the office, in a nutshell, is the first place that veterans or dependents and survivors should be going to for services. That's basically about it. That's my, what, 5 minutes of fame? And I enjoy making, by the way, if you didn't know where I live, but I live in Lancaster. So I drive
really out.
And when I worked downtown LA, I would take Angeles Crest over, it's still an hour and a half to get over the hill. And to go 8 miles in downtown LA is 45 minutes. So it's, to me, it's the same travel distance. So I have a lot of time to think about things. Sometimes I think too much and try to do stuff for veterans, and that's what we need to do. But commute-wise, it's to me, it's the same. Except for the rain, actually, I got it pretty quick today.
I complained about coming from South Orange County.
Any questions?
Do you have any data that shows a breakdown of veterans by city in Orange County?
I could pull that if you tell me.
Yeah, that would be good. And I've heard, but I've never seen anything to back it up, that we have like the largest percent in Orange County, the largest percentage of veterans. So, as compared to the rest of the country.
So
really?
That's what I, but I've never seen anything to back that up, and that would be great if we could have some data to back that up.
So the data for states, since there's about 105 to 130,000 veterans in Orange County, but that doesn't include the retirees or the other individuals, so just by the census. So LA County has about 240,000 veterans. So it's something interesting that we, I know that, I believe they did pull the data one time for the board supervisors, but in my system, I can pull what we have by city in our system that we track the veterans that visit our office. And then locally, it will be the consumer survey census, and that's if everything is corrected in the survey. And those numbers are sometimes kind of skewed. If we work, tell me what you're looking for, I'll see if I can pull it out.
And then, do you work with the homeless veterans, or do you collaborate with the homeless outreach work that's being done in the county or the county office, or how does that handle? Because I know there's a significant percentage of veterans who are homeless.
And Brad, you brought that up. There's a lot of senior veterans right now, too, that I see on the street. So Veterans Service Office offers services such as pension and trying to get them enrolled and supporting services for veterans and their families. And the event that's at the Elk Club right now is the Veterans and Families Commission or Committee, and they're working with women veterans. And I just came off a meeting Friday on homeless veterans. So we're pretty heavily involved with Long Beach VA, VASH, and then when they come into the office, we try to get them to OC for Vets, which is internal here. And once we get back into the office here, we're all kind of like around the corner from each other. So if a homeless veteran comes in, we can take them to them, and then they can actually do the referral for housing for them. Good example, we just had a 71-year-old veteran and a 62-year-old wife living in their vehicle. The County Veterans Service Office initiated the claims for benefits for them. The veteran was awarded, and he came in 2 weeks back and didn't know that his check went in. And it was when it was raining really bad, and I told him, he's a Vietnam veteran, and I said, you know, you don't have to be outside right now. You can now go into a place. And then OC for Vets connected him up with resources and are trying to get him a stable housing. His intent is to go into a retired senior like mobile home park, and I think he's looking at Anaheim, and he should have enough revenue to get in there. And you never know, it can happen to any one of us to become homeless, and you can lose everything in one shot. And then out there with the stories that they told me is that they lost their nest egg because they lost their apartment, and nobody would help them because they were like $200 over. So they went back and forth in hotels until their funding was depleted to become, get below the poverty threshold. And that's kind of a shame. So it should be where, hey, I'm out here now, can you help me get a low income or some type of housing for me, especially our seniors. And coming from Los Angeles this way, looking to the right side as I'm coming down the 5, I see the train tracks and I see all those tents there. And not only for veterans, but the average person too. And it's very sad when you see a senior out there with all their stuff. And my wife puts it pretty bluntly, that's somebody. And that's somebody's wife, daughter, husband, brother, sister, and nobody takes that extra step to help them. But the Veterans Service Office does connect with them and service them.
Yeah, even if you got off the and if you took the toll road table when you get off the Dyer, mm-hmm. See all the homeless under that underpass, and it's out raining, and just they are somebody.
And another thing with the homeless, we are connected up with Long Beach VA. There's a young lady that now comes out and does the homeless outreach, Maxine. And I happen to arrive along with Pauline about a week later. She shows up in the office looking for these books. And I go, where are you at? She goes, I'm out of Long Beach VA and I'm assigned to Orange County. I'm supposed to be helping with homeless. And I go, cool. And then we start talking. And since I retired from LA County, the vet reps out of Long Beach that worked under me are still there. And they know, everybody knows everybody. So it's a good connection because she says, you know, if you have somebody that comes in that needs help, here's my cell phone number. And we have that collaboration just by talking to each other. Plus, your county veteran service officers, myself, we're in the VA intranet also, too. So we have like a dual status versus not only county, but we are still considered VA employees without compensation.
Well, I'm very active with the American Legion Auxiliary. One of our missions is to assist veterans. So we have some groups that we're working with. Are you doing any outreach? One of the things that the American Legion is doing now is helping the Department of Defense on the outreach regarding the Vietnam War 50th anniversary and the recognition of the veterans of that war. So I don't know if you gentlemen are aware of that and can get the Vietnam War veteran pin. And then we're also working on, there's also a pin for the surviving spouses of the Vietnam War veterans. And I didn't realize that the span of years, it's about a 20-year war. So any service, what, from November 1st, 1955 to, I don't remember the
May end.
So it actually captures
something before. May of 75.
So, and it captures some who served in the Korean War. And so they're, you know, they're eligible, but it's, you know, something that we're working on now to get that recognition.
The commemorative, there was a commemorative certificate that was put out too, and the little pin, I don't know if the Legion also, connected Legion in Eagle Rock, and the VFW out here maybe joined them. I mean, they volunteered. So,
they were honored to have
me. And then Veteran Services, as we evolve, it's a gradual commitment to the community and getting out there. Any posts that bring veterans in that need assistance, the vet reps are, what you hear the term cross-accredited, so that means vet reps have access and can review American Legion claims that were done, disabled American veterans, veterans of foreign wars, and our credentialing is under the state of California, California Department of Veterans Affairs, which is the state equivalency to the Federal Department of Veterans Affairs. So we are the veterans advocates, so in the event the organizations don't have a post-service officer or somebody to help with benefits, the vet reps here can help them. We have no closed doors, so no matter who crosses our path, if it's from another state, if they're coming in from another county, if CalVet has worked with them, we have access to the same databases. And plus, we're another opinion. The claims work is very subjective. I've been doing this for 30 years. There's no right way, there's no wrong way, but the bad way is if you don't assist and if you turn people away, and that shouldn't be happening. And if it does, shoot me an email or Pauline, and that should not be happening, especially with our seniors.
Yeah. Any questions? I don't want to hog all the questions. How about at the other end of the age spectrum? Do you do outreach to the high schools regarding the scholarships that are available to children of veterans?
So, you know,
or
about
the grants, or maybe the grants?
There's a CalVet college tuition fee waiver. I'm pretty sure you guys may be familiar with that. So your service-connected thing we're going to talk about, if you have time to come by, you could have put your kid in college for tuition waived for free. But no age limit, so if they move back in with it, you're covered. So, which sometimes happens. The oldest person I had go through the CalVet fee waiver was 54 years old. He was taking care of his World War II dad, and he would bring him in to do his waiver. And, you know, he was successful, but he put his business on hold for 2 years to take care of his aging father. His dad would come in and, you were paying as a kid, you're still, and then just ran. And poor kid, the guy would just like, but he went on to get a doctorate degree from CalVet. So there, you know, the tuition fee waivers, and county veteran service offices are very big at marketing to the college community and local high schools.
Okay.
And you always want to get, and just to make sure they're doing it here, to get with the counselors that are dealing with seniors, because we're pretty close to Camp Pendleton. A lot of Marines live in El Toro. A lot of active component service members still live on this side, and it's probably cheaper than San Diego.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We want to connect to them, and along with the military installations too.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions?
Well, you know, the one thing I was talking about was when I was in the Army, it was I was in the Army attached to the Air Force because I was at a missile site, and my job was to run diagnostics on the computers in the morning and run diagnostics, fire control panels on the radars. And one day putting warheads into the missiles. And there was a little muffin fan that went right next to the guidance system to keep it cool for the 4 seconds that it was in flight. It wasn't working, so I'm reaching in there. I disconnected the power anyway. And so I'm reaching in, take the fan out and put another one in. And this lieutenant comes in and says, "Oh, somebody left this unplugged, plugs it in, and
oh,
ripped my finger, tip of the finger off."
Oh,
And that is Thursday.
And the man was a West Pointer, too.
And he brings up a good point, because I joined the Army in 1979, which is considered peacetime service. I was assigned to Germany to a Pershing missile base in the 80s, but served all the way up through this current conflict and retired out of the reserve side in 2014. And a lot of veterans, such as council person, don't come in and apply, because I served, I was, were you, if you don't mind me asking, were you drafted or did you volunteer?
Volunteer.
So back in the day,
yeah, I had to, because I was going to get drafted in the 50s.
Yeah.
You didn't get away.
There's a big difference of those that we come across, especially at Legion or VFW, that I was drafted, and you'll hear that term, and then a lot of veterans volunteer. I became the all-volunteer force, which the people that were drafted did not like us when I went through basic training. But just getting the peacetime veterans to come in and apply and join veterans organizations and get involved, not only for seniors, but with the organization in itself. Because with those commodities, our seniors and their dependents and their survivors. So give them the application to join your Legion force.
The auxiliary, we need more members.
Yes.
So, any other questions or comments for our guest speaker? So George, we really appreciate your being here. That's good information. We have your folder so we can go through it. And I'll be contacting you regarding the auxiliary and how we can serve veterans. Right now we're working with Veterans Outreach OC. They serve the homeless veterans. They have a free home. So. But I appreciate your information. Yeah, they just merged with another organization, Veterans Housing.
Veterans Housing, and there was in the meeting they were talking about building more housing.
Mm-hmm.
I brought up there's no housing in Orange County. Everything's taken to LA. And if you're homeless in Orange County, why would I want to go to West LA or Long Beach when I'm familiar with the surroundings? A little bit about myself. When I got out of the Army, I was kind of in that transition for 6 months off of active duty in 92. And you're familiar with your surroundings and you're familiar with all the resources locally. But I know that the groups are trying to get subsidized housing here for homeless veterans and their families. A lot of people forget about the Veterans Homes of California, which are for veterans. And we have processed those applications. And those homes were designed for homeless veterans. But just as we get a person that's transitioned, especially a senior, we can help with those applications. So, you know, you have Barstow. Everybody wants to go to Chula Vista, right? And then you have West Los Angeles, but a lot of veterans. I didn't know about that. I'll go to that community, right? And just getting them in. And the CalVet home loan is another one. The oldest person that bought the CalVet home loan was 95, because they don't look at her age. They just look at what you have coming in as revenue. And then that's when the families are with the veteran or the survivor. Surviving spouses are eligible to apply to if the veteran died of something from service. So these are a lot of resources that we can share together with the groups.
Well, about a year and a half ago, there was that, it was built by Jamboree Housing. And I'm trying to think, is it Freedom Village?
Is
that the name
yes.
of it? And where they have the services right there. In the on property. And I thought that was a great model, and I hope that that continues, that we see more of that. So, but again, thank you very much. This is very informative. I wish all of our committee could have been here to hear this, because it was great information for us. Just thank you.
Back into our normal.
Yeah, this was our first meeting in person in 3 years.
This committee.
Yeah,
3 years. So, Pauline invites me back and tells me let's come around Memorial Day. That'll be okay. Let me know ahead of time, and,
sure.
and then tell me what you want to hear about, and I'll put it together.
Absolutely.
I know there's more veterans and survivors in this group too.
Yes, there are actually a larger group as well. Much larger group. Thanks, George.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let me go back across the way.
Yes.
You're welcome to stay, but we don't have much more to go. I know time is precious. So.
All right. Thank you, Pauline.
You're welcome. Thanks, George.
Thank you for your service, sir.
Take care.
Thank you for inviting me, and I'll be on the hopefully up here by then.
Okay.
All right, good. Thank you, sir.
Okay, the next item on the agenda are the chair items. I don't know if John had anything.
He did not. Not
okay,
at this point.
So no chair items, subcommittee reports. Dave is not here for the digital divide, but...
Could I say something about that?
Yes,
tell me,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah, I talked to Dave, and one of the items that I certainly want to follow up on is how are those 2,500 iPads being used? And, I think we can get data usage and find out if people are actually, one, using them. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. And if they aren't, what's the, you know, what's the problem? You know, what type of barriers do people have? I'm sure out of the 2,500, some of them are just sitting. And so I'd like to take a look at that as part of the...
I'll check with staff and see if we can pull that data for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, pull the data and see. So we get an idea of, you know,
sure.
the usage and stuff. I know my iPad is overused.
Yeah, I know. And there's a lot of people now that we got an extension of the grant that allows the data plan to be carried out through the end of this year as well.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I don't want to guess. Let me
yeah,
check.
Yeah,
let
you
me
get,
check.
You get the information as to
yeah.
just, you know, how much data is being used on.
Sure.
Machines.
Yeah, I will check that.
Yeah,
because
that would be good information.
There,
and then
yeah.
if they're not being used, is it a training issue
yeah,
or
right.
is it time to call it back and reissue it?
Right, exactly. Conceivably, that could be. And maybe some people have died too. That's another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's another, you know, it's over 2,500 seniors.
Yeah.
Mortality.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I think that was part of the agreement that the family would return it, but when someone passes away, that's not what you're thinking of.
No, that's
or
not on the top of
even,
your list.
They
I
may not even be aware that that's not
that
being returned.
Yeah, until, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, it would be interesting.
I'll check into that for you. Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Anything else, Tony?
Yeah, I like the new room.
Yeah.
You know, I've been here, I haven't
oh, we
been
all
here
like
for
the new
3 years.
Room.
Don't so.
Wait, Monica. We all love the new room.
Yeah, you know,
yeah.
3 years. I was wondering, well, what improvements were made? Is it?
Yeah.
You know,
we're hoping this is not working yet. You know, we moved in today, literally today. So there's people. You'll see people carrying boxes and
yeah,
stuff.
We
so.
Just saw some go by.
Yeah.
Really? I mean,
literally.
Yeah, you go in the restroom. There's no trash cans.
This is the first day, what, was this building vacant then?
No, 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 no. This floor was completely vacant while they did all the renovations.
Oh, okay.
We were downstairs in
oh,
the basement.
Okay.
With now, luckily, I was only there for 3 months. I can imagine. I guess
yeah.
people were there for 9 months.
Yeah.
No windows, no nothing. You'd come out in the morning, come out in the evening, you wouldn't know whether the sun was shining or it was dark,
okay.
you know. But
yeah,
it's
nice.
Yeah,
it
is.
It's
really,
lovely.
Real
brighter color, more room. I always
yeah.
felt like
yes.
we were shoved
yeah,
in
that
a closet.
Was, yeah, and it had
yeah.
bad ventilation, too. If you see
yeah.
some of those seats, you got refrigerated.
Yeah. But this is a huge ad with the...
That's the
yes.
8th of the month, the Housing and Transportation Committee. Met here.
Yeah.
And it looked like this.
Yeah, this is the last of the subcommittee meetings to meet here.
Uh-huh.
So in March, we started kind of transitioning over to the in-person meetings. The first one was housing and transportation. Then we had well-being reimagined. And then we have this one, senior citizens engagement. Executive board will be here on Friday. And then the only meeting that's off-site is the full general meeting, which will be at Easter Seals every month. You know, through the end.
Oh, is that where it's going to be?
Yeah, through the end of the year.
My first meeting here many, many years ago was that one expandable, and they used to open the whole thing, and the Lands Committee was the biggest one, because we used to get the legislative analyst from each congressman.
Right.
And it was well attended, and it got packed.
It got packed,
yeah.
So this, this is the biggest room that we have. I think it's good for, you know, if we have overflow and we have a lot of people, we're going to be in trouble. But, you know, for now, this seems to work for us, you know.
Right.
So, yeah.
Good. Hey, Elizabeth, do you have anything from the Elder Abuse Subcommittee?
The committee hasn't met, but speaking about elder abuse, CSL is working, well, particularly Gabe, Tetzloff is working on this secret marriage thing. which is a big scam.
Yeah, the secret.
Ooh, big scam. So.
Yeah, there'll be more information coming out about that to the group as we move forward on that. But the crux of it is basically there is a statute that has been on the books since 18-something on confidential marriages. And it allows people to, you know, enter into a confidential marriage. It's not a public record. You know, sons, daughters, any in-laws know nothing about it. And while I think it may have been well intended way back when, we're seeing a spike in people taking advantage of that to take advantage of seniors, you know, later in their lives. And a lot of people have been, you know, taken, like their nest egg has been taken from them, their home has been taken from them. And, you know, you have these people who come in starting off possibly as caregivers and then with ulterior motives. And I don't think the intent is to get rid of confidential marriages, because there's a lot of people, especially in Hollywood and stuff, who really like having their little confidential marriage. But the intent is, how do you protect seniors from that? You know, because there's nothing other than, I think, a notary public. That's it.
Yeah. No, you it's know. Being abused, and I know.
Totally.
And
totally.
I know it's also, but the it's beneficial to those who are in law enforcement or certain attorneys, because they're protecting their family.
Yeah. Right.
So that's where it's beneficial, but now it's being abused to seniors.
Yeah, and I think that's what they're looking at. You know, we had a discussion about, or I think the OC caucus had a discussion about it, and instead of going, this has to be abolished, this has to be taken, it's like, no, flip it. How do we make sure that seniors are protected from this? Because it's disgraceful. There was an attorney that spoke, and she had a client whose $7 million home in Cota de Casa is no longer his. The wife is now, she's moved in her children from another marriage. It's disgraceful.
Yeah, I think that was at one of our subcommittee meetings.
I think John brought it up.
Our last meeting.
John's in Sacramento. But last night he forwarded an email to me, or his comment, CSO caucus, on this proposal that I had submitted. I submitted about 3 years ago. It's undue influence, and it deals with that. Caretakers taking undue influence in seniors and whatever. So I printed out last night, and I was going to resubmit it, try to pick one of the legislators.
And especially with our growing senior population.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and as more and more of these fraudsters do it, and then they tell their friends.
Yep, yep.
They learn more about it. So, Okay, anything else, Elizabeth?
No.
Okay. Legislative tracking. That's John. Did John give a report to anyone to deliver to us? No? Okay. New membership? Well, I don't believe. Do we have any new members?
We don't. Not at this point. But there's.
What about Meredith?
No, Meredith has been on this committee for a while, I believe. She switched. She came off housing and transportation, and she wants to be on this one.
Okay.
But she missed the. That's what it is. Yeah.
Okay.
So. So Meredith is new. She's adding to this committee.
And if we're down to agenda item 11, any announcements? The only thing I'd like to announce is that I already spoke on it to our guest, is the Vietnam War 50th anniversary recognition, that if you know any veterans, they did not have to serve in Vietnam. Their service could have been anywhere because they were supporting what was going on, and I was trying to look up the date, I couldn't find it fast enough, but it begins November 1st, 1955, and it goes through 74, 75. They are eligible to receive a pin, or their surviving spouse, the person who was the spouse at the date of death of the veteran, can receive the surviving spouse pin. In Laguna Niguel, we are recognizing the surviving spouses at our Memorial Day ceremony. Our American Legion Post is heading this up, And then our host already did a ceremony in Laguna Niguel a couple weeks ago, but then they are going around to the other cities in South County. So lnpost.org is where you would get information.
So is this a new pin then?
Not really.
So, because I have a couple of friends
actually,
who are veterans.
No, actually, President Obama is the one who initiated this Vietnam War 50th anniversary recognition. So it's been going on for a few years. So, but this is.
But that, that wasn't regularly, you know, like you know, my dad, when I was a kid, maybe 1960, got his World War II medals sent to him. Would this pin be sent to veterans?
No, this you need to apply for. So.
LNveterans.org?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, because I have a couple of friends, I think.
Let me make sure I can get to the website so that I gave you the correct website. LNpost281.org.
LN post and then what?
281.org. And that's the South County Post. It used to be Laguna Niguel, but they recently changed their name to South County because some of the other American Legion posts have folded into them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they are handling all of that.
It's beautiful.
American Legion. Okay, so that's all that I have. Anyone else have anything to announce or discuss? Okay, seeing none, we are now adjourned at 10:23 a.m. Our next meeting will be right here at 9:30 a.m. on April 17th. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Elaine.